Okay, we're recording. Wonderful. Hello. I hope everybody is doing okay today. I'm really happy to be with all of you. We've got a Q&A call today, and let's take a couple of moments to really consciously come into this time together and to get settled and to get fully present and open and activated. And so I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes and really turn inward. Inhaling and exhaling. Using the breath to connect deeply with yourself, with your body, with your wisdom. Inhaling, taking in what you need. Exhaling, releasing what you don't need. Finding yourself, locating yourself as you breathe. And as you connect in this way, I invite you to connect in to your business or your sacred work, or a project that you're working on right now, whatever feels most important, your business or your sacred work, a project that you're working on in your business right now, really just as you breathe, connect into it. Make it an entity, a living, breathing thing. We tend to disconnect from our projects, from our business, from our sacred work, and we just kind of make them into objects. And so I invite you to allow your business, your sacred work, whatever project you're working on right now, to be a living, breathing thing. And to be in relationship with that thing. And to ask that thing, what is it that you want me to know about you right now? Ask your business, ask your sacred work, ask your project, whatever it is. What is it that you want me to know about you right now? And continue to connect with it and ask it, what is it that you would like for me to do for you right now? What would you like me to do for you right now? What do you need from me that will serve the both of us? What do you need from me that will serve the both of us? And then from there, take a few more moments to just connect deeply. To be be in conscious relationship with your business, with your sacred work, or with your project. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. Then allow your eyes to flutter open and bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. All right. Let me get us into question mode. Hold on a second. It's star 2 to raise your hand. Please feel free to bring forward anything that you need support on today. And we'll all use Law of Adaptation. Stephanie.
Ooh, yay, I get to be first. awesome. So that was a helpful exercise at the beginning. I feel like I wasn't really sure what, if anything, I wanted to bring to the call today, but I think what's been really coming up for me is feeling disconnected from my business and not, I mean, there's definitely aspects that I still get excited about, but there's sort of been this general feeling of like, I just don't want to right now. And I don't know if it means that I need to like step away and take a break. Like I haven't given myself a vacation in a while. But that being said, I mean, I'm only doing this part time. I give myself lots of space during the week. But yeah, it doesn't feel quite as alive as it used to. I'm feeling less inspired to do the things that I, you know, at some level I'm still excited about and interested in. But have been wondering if I just need to like step away, if there's things that I need to cull. It was sort of an interesting exercise just now going through that visualization, because when I pictured my business, what came up is sort of this almost like a snake, but it was also a plant, and it had like all of these arms weaving in and out, like writhing, and it seemed like something that desperately needed to be pruned. And that's sort of the message that came through, and I asked like what it needs. So maybe there's stuff that needs to be let go, but I'm not sure what to make of this feeling of like blah around it lately.
Yeah. So first, this may be playing into it a little bit, or it may be playing into a lot, but I think on some level, just everything that's going on in the world right now is creating disconnection in general. Mm-hmm. So that may not be the main thing here, but I just want to kind of name it and presence it and honor it, because sometimes, you know, I've noticed this, not for everybody, by any stretch, but like for a lot of people, just everything that's going on right now, even if we have the same amount of time as we did before to work on our businesses, even if we don't have someone in our household that's ill, there are a lot of energy like moving around right now.
Yeah.
And some of it can create feelings of blah for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to ask you, you know, it might be very little for you, like 2%, but I just want to get a gauge of like how much do you sense the pandemic is playing into the blah.
Yeah, I think that's good to acknowledge. I think that could possibly account for a good amount of it. You know, it's hard to quantify, but I do feel like, yeah, there's a lot of tension and anxiety and depression that's been coming up around all of this. And I'm sure it's like seeping into everything right now. So yeah, that's true. That's a good thing to keep on my radar.
Yeah. So that's just one piece, right? But I do want you, because it's landing, I do want you to keep it on your radar. And I think what's valuable about that is if it is impacting, you know, it's not like we can get rid of it. Like the feelings completely, right? Like that's not, you know, if only. But it probably is a sign to give yourself more space to process how you're feeling, to be doing your soul work just around what's happening in the world right now. And also, like, there's the processing the feelings of it, but also, like, where you're being called to, right? Mm-hmm. So just give yourself more space to really be present, like, consciously present. I think what happens for a lot of us is we are present to the pandemic, but in an unconscious way that then drains energy from other places.
Mm-hmm.
Give more, have more conscious containers to be present to it.
Mm-hmm.
But from there, okay, so that's one piece, but then let's do a little bit more looking to see what else might be going on here. I think it's really interesting, for lack of a better word, interesting that it showed up as a snake and then a plant to be pruned. Mm-hmm. And of course, your work is about plants, so I love that part of it. But if you were to take a guess, and it's okay if it's just a complete and total guess, we'll get to the pruning part in a moment, but if you were just to take a guess on, like, why did it show up as a snake in the first place, what would your guess be?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I mean, I think it was sort of just like the motion of the snake, sort of like this writhing motion,
mm-hmm.
Which felt sort of like uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm thinking about like symbolism of snakes and like what that means to me.
Yeah. So don't think about general symbolism, but what it means to you. What meaning does the snake have for you?
Mm-hmm. So this is just what's coming up for me. I don't know what to make of it, but we've been getting like soil deliveries lately, and we were warned about this invasive species called a snake worm to look out for, and we got one delivery that seemed to have them in it, and so we had them take it back. But it's been sort of like this one way that fear has been showing up for me is like when I'm digging through these new piles we got, like looking for these snake worms, which are these like weird little worms that move like snakes and like writhe around and like jump around and do like, and they're really, they can destroy soil structure.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there's something there around like fear and like invasiveness that comes up when I think about, you know, what that sort of motion is triggering in me right now.
Yeah, good. And, you know, let's just continue to look and see. So if you were to apply that feeling of invasiveness to your business, how could that be applied to your business?
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I've been trying to consciously work with boundaries around my business and not letting it sort of snake its way into like every aspect of my life. And I've been doing better with that. But I think that I know that I have the tendency for my business to sort of act like an invasive species in my life over things. So maybe.
And that's very much the snake is related to the devil archetype. And that's so much of what you're talking about right now came up in that exploration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one piece here, right? Like sometimes we think we need to just like get rid of the whole thing when really it's like pieces of the business, the project, the thing are ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the first clue around what might need to be pruned is to go deeper, you know, into those habits that are having the business invade and sneak into other parts of your life.
Mm.
I know you've already started working on some of those. It might be a real, like a real invitation. Like if you don't want to feel blah about your business anymore, take your boundaries seriously.
Yeah, I think And that's one thing that came up intuitively, like, that I've been actually thinking about all week is, like, damn, I just need a break. Like putting a really definitive break around, like, all right, this week I'm not going to do anything with my business. And, like, I'm not even going to think about it. And, like, I don't think I've had a week where I've allowed – I mean, I've taken time off, but, like, it's always in the back of my mind. But, like, really, literally just taking some space from it. And not letting it control my brain.
What if you took the week and you really applied some of the rewiring tools that we've been looking at? Like, you'll have more time throughout the week to apply them because you're not working. And as the thoughts come up, really, you know, do some of the inner work on that. Really set the boundaries, and then also use the week as a reset so that when you do the following week come back to work, you can start fresh with some of the boundaries of, you know, turning off the computer when it's time to turn it off and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, that feels really good, and I think, like, there's probably other pruning that needs to happen.
I was going to say that. So, you know, you can do it this week off, but if that's going to be too much, like, thinking about the business during the week off, then wait. I would ask, like, I would close your, you know, like, make a memory of what it looked like in the visualization, the, and then when you're ready, close your mind, see it, and ask it, like, what's ready to be pruned?
I think giving myself some space away will make that seem more clear. You know, because when you're in it, it's like, I can't get rid of anything. Like, this is all important, but, like, maybe some distance, which is, like, what you do when you prune a tree, right? Like, you stand back and you look and you see where there needs to be space created. You can't see that when you're all up in it.
I love that. I love that metaphor. Yes, 100%. So I think that that would be really valuable. And then just the other thing that's going through my mind, you've never, like, directly said this, so you can tell me if I'm getting this right or not, but, like, I feel like, Stephanie, like, you have the heart of an activist. I just, like, to me, it just feels like in your heart, like, you're so committed to a new, changing the world and, you know, all of that. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, and so, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, it's like if we're not using our businesses to make the world a better place, it could feel blah. And, of course, you're using your business to make the world a better place. That goes without saying. But I don't know, part of me just wonders if there's, like, a new kind of level to your messaging that takes your activist, and this isn't taking a wrecking ball to your messaging or anything that you're doing, but just, like, a little shift of something that like, speaks to, that has your activist heart even more in your work. You can tell me if that lands or not.
Yeah, I think it does. Like, I don't know. I've done a lot of work connecting to, like, my big why and, like, how what I'm doing is going to, like, create the world that I want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like I'm trying to stuff something, like I'm trying to make something fit. But I feel like I have actually felt that for a while. Like, there's something else.
Yeah, and I don't think the else is a departure. You know, it's not a break from what you're doing. It's just, like, more of a connecting bridge.
Yeah. Right. And that's sort of the other piece, like, that image that came up for me is, like, this snake that's all, it's like a plant that's, like, root bound almost, of, like, it's wanting to break through and be something bigger and larger. But I'm just not like able to see what that is yet, or there needs to be something done in order
to
allow.
Well, you need to prune in order to grow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good thing to keep in mind, because sometimes it can feel like what am I even doing this for? Like, who cares? Like, if this person
yep.
bought a t-shirt, like, what does it actually do?
Right. So that's my point exactly. It's like, and again, I don't think it's a wrecking ball. It's like a reconnection for you, and then just maybe some like a little bit of new languaging in how you're sharing.
Yeah.
The work.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. That'll be fun work to do after I give myself a little break and come back and we'll do some revisioning.
Yeah, good. Keep us posted.
Awesome. Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see who's next in ball.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I'm glad for Stephanie's question. I was also feeling pretty disconnected. I want to ask about a client because I feel like we're good, but basically, so two things came up in session yesterday, and one is that, so she's pregnant and really worried about the pregnancy, and her partner is very different about it. And
is this the one who has the younger partner and she's responsible?
Yes.
And he's kind of, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, so, I mean, there's a couple of layers. So I just want to so basically, you know, I was just really honest with her about how I was like, you know, as grounded and aware as I am, like I have biases around these, and like people need to do what they feel good about. The issue is that she is so uncomfortable with everything that he's doing. And so that's what she wrote in her form over and over, like, I'm uncomfortable. But I can't, like, tell him what to do. And I'm like, no, of course you can't tell him what to do. Like, you know, and just kind of, you know, we went through, like, her priorities. She was just laid off, like, themes that are important to her. Like, and, yeah, so one part of it is that I was feeling a little bit like, was I too strong? And I actually called and checked in with her, you know, after, like, I had eaten and I was like, yeah, I just really want to, like, and she was super cool about it. She was like, no, like you said, like, everyone is different. Like, you know, you and I are in different positions, and yeah, I'm totally fine. And she really appreciated it. But as I was reflecting on it, I think that, like, the deeper issue is that, like, her partner is so, like, enmeshed and attached with his family. So much of her stress is around, like, getting them on the same page, or, like, getting to him before his mom gets to him, and that he's still making decisions, like, with his mom, even though they're living together and going to have a baby, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is something, so I think that that's, like, the deeper issue. And then I also was, like, I felt bad that I didn't think of, like, another suggestion, which is kind of like, all right, well, like, what if he decides to do, like, all of this? And it's like, okay, so the consequences are, like, yeah, like, we're not sleeping in the same bed. I don't know, but it scares me that it's like she's so, like, I guess, impressed by these other people.
Yeah, when you say he's doing a responsible
really
thing
about her discomfort.
Say that again.
She seems super clear about her discomfort.
And I just want to make sure I'm understanding, like, is this about how he's exposing himself out in the world? I feel like that's what you were getting at, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, so it's about that, like, exposure to, to COVID. But then I was reflecting, and the bigger issue is that, like, kind of like this push and pull with his mom, where it's like, well, I can't ask him to not go there for lunch every day.
Yep. Okay, so first of all, just I want to acknowledge you for, like, it feels like this reflection around his relationship with his family and how that's actually one of the deeper issues here. Just yay for being able to see that, right? Because that wasn't immediately apparent to either of you. So it feels like you're really holding this and approaching this with a lot of consciousness and presence and all of that.
Yeah,
you're welcome. And so it feels like what, you know, what's coming through is definitely an important piece. Number one, just to create awareness around for her and for her to really be with. And, you know, because she is, as you've shared in the past, like, you know, a controlling person, and there's this little bit like she's older, he's younger, and, you know, she doesn't, you don't want her to fall into like this mothering role with him. You know, you have to look at this with care and tenderness. But that being said, it does feel to me like there are, I'm trying to think how to word this, like there isn't a mutual understanding between her and him around what are the parameters and responsibilities of the relationship and how they relate to each other and just being in relationship together, as well as preparing to be parents of the same child. And while you don't want her to go into like control mode or anything like that, it feels like if those pieces aren't clarified and you know, and they come to like mutual understandings of what they're doing together, that this is going to persist. It's almost like starting a coaching relationship without having an agreement, you know? And, like, they're not getting married, per se. Like, I was going to use the reason I'm saying that is, like, I was going to use the metaphor of, like, you in Judaism, there's a ketubah, you know. I mean, it's very outdated. Like, John and I wrote our own ketubah with our own promises to each other, right? But, like they need – a contract sounds so sterile, but, like, there needs to be agreements in the relationship. This is a big girl and a big boy relationship. They're bringing another human being into the world. They're living together, like – you know, and it feels like they're in the Wild West without any structure.
Yeah.
And
part of her, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, and part of like her fear is that it's kind of like, it's like, I don't want her to be, what we've looked at is like kind of like this energy of like, not even competition with the mom, like for his attention, but it's like, he's talking with his parents about like, you know, like buying a car that would have a lot of debt, and it's like that impacts like their financial life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is like they're, and then she doesn't have to feel bad about what she asks him to do or not do because there are agreements around it. And then also there's less confusion around what to get upset about and what not to get upset about. Because there's structure around it and kind of, I mean, you know, relationships are messy no matter what. It's the Wild West no matter what, but it's like a little less messy, you know?
Yeah, and also, I mean, for her to be like, so now, I mean, you know, so I think like the other piece is, you know, I mean, I think this can wait till our like next session because we're just working on, you know, she was just laid off like, 10 days ago, she's really worried about the baby. And it's like, yeah, it's like she said yesterday that, you know, her partner's and her partner's family, like this long lost brother just came home from the army in Afghanistan, and like they're having a family get together, and he's going to a house where his sister, his younger sister, is having friends over. And I'm like, part of me is like, what are you all doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing, and like, I was super conscious yesterday, like, not to do anything that's like, not to say anything that's like, could.
Checking your filter.
Around fear, because she doesn't need more fear.
Right.
And was just very much like, you know, the most important thing is that, like, you're comfortable.
Yeah. So while you don't want to incite fear and you don't want to, like, project your ideas or anything like that, what your responsibility is to support her to ask to get her needs met.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was so ridiculous, you know, because it's like around him, like, you know, not being able to have lunch at his parents' house, like 4 or 5 times a week, when it's like, that's an inconvenience versus the risk. I'm just like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
But how does she frame it in a way where it's not like, do you mean like going back, where it's not like, please don't do this? She's like, I can't ask him to do this. And I'm like, are you sure?
Right. Well, so that's what I was going to say. Like, in order to get to the place of being able to have a conversation with him around agreements, if you haven't already, you'd want to look at what are her fears around asking for what she needs. Has that happened?
Yeah. I'm sure in the past, but
sounds like it needs
a refresh. Yeah, but I didn't do it yesterday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to empower her to, feel like she can ask for her needs to be met, and then help her see what the fear is around that, so that she can give herself some more permission. You don't have to, like, the fear isn't going to go away completely. You just want to work with the fear enough that she's willing to take the step to give herself permission. And then help her kind of create a list of things that she would like to ask for, and maybe some language around it that feels good for her.
Can you give one suggestion? Can you give one suggestion around, like, what an agreement could be?
Yeah, so, depending on what her needs are, right? But it could be, during the pregnancy, what they as a couple feel comfortable around in terms of exposing to COVID, and what they don't feel comfortable around.
Right.
I'll just give an example from my own life. John's an acupuncturist, and he works at a hospital, and he's obviously been home, but they're planning on having him go back in a couple of weeks. And I tend to, like, I've got a lot of stuff around it, I'm owning that. But, like, he and I had a full-on conversation about, I was like, okay, if you have to go back, I understand, but I want to make sure that you're wearing a mask. There were certain things that, even though it's his job, right? Like, I don't get to necessarily dictate his job. Like, we sat down and had a conversation so that we could both feel comfortable with what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
So I couldn't say to him, you can't go back to work, right? I mean, I guess I could have, but I didn't feel like that was appropriate. But within that, there were certain requests that I could make. You know, we both agreed when he gets home, he's going to take his clothing off right away. He's, you know, like all the different things.
Totally. Awesome.
Right?
And this can wait till our till my next session.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Right on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who is this? 6004.
Hi, Joanna. It's Suzanne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, since I spoke to you last month, I followed up your suggestion. So there was the five people who were going to leave that I thought perhaps might not, like the membership who thought might not be best
mm-hmm.
leaving. So I messaged
yeah.
them all individually. And two of them ended up staying. So that was the
huge
win. I'm celebrating
that's
that.
That's great. Yes, awesome. Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I felt a little bit more inspired. And I loved how you said earlier that you need to prune in order to grow. So, like, a bunch of people did end up leaving. Like, there was others I didn't reach out to. But the energy of the people who are remaining is so much more vibrant and engaging and yeah, so I'm really enjoying it. So I've decided I still want to grow, as in get more people. So since we've last talked, I've done some target market interviews, like to people who just follow my page in general. I did an invite, and I've done like six of those.
Mm-hmm.
And the general consensus seems to be that people, and I suppose this is in most niches, want some form of like quick win or quick start. And because I work in the weight industry, a lot of people, when they have jumped on a diet, they like the fact that they get that initial drop on the scales, you know, so to speak. And from there's the whole what they want versus what they need, like that very quick start is usually what shoots them in the foot, because then they burn out doing the fast things and don't do the long work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to brainstorm, which I wanted to discuss with you, like ways that they can get this. And I was thinking, you know, I could run some form of 5-day challenge or something that would be free that potentially new leads could come and do it. And I noticed that you're doing something, Master the Art of Human Transformation, which I gather leads into Sacred Depths. And obviously Sacred Depths is also a many-month program. It's not fast. And I was just wondering, how do you come up with ideas of what to include and make it small and digestible and that they're going to get some form of result, but then also realize it's a long-term thing?
Yeah, so it's such a great question. I'm glad you're bringing it up. I'm not intending for anybody to get an outer result through the 4 days, like, you know, of next week. It is a preview. And so there's a couple things about it. So number one, on the opt-in page, I'm clear that it's a preview for a program, you know, that you're going to get a lot through the 4 days. But it's also an introduction
mm-hmm.
to Sacred Depths. And for me, that feels really, you know, that's, you don't need to do that, but I say, like, for me, from an integrity standpoint, that feels important to do. My
I feel the same, differently.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't feel, right, like, icky in any way. And my intention over those 4 days is not for people to have results, like to have all of these tools that they can use in their coaching, but my intention is for that to create awareness, like deep awareness over those 4 days around why, like what's what they deeply desire when it comes to their work with their clients. What's been holding them back from it? Where are their fears around the transformation? You know, all of those pieces with some ideas around where the missing parts are. But it would be, there's no way I could create results in those 4 days.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I'm having, that maybe I could do something similar in terms of, because that's the thing, that they're not going to get out of results in 5 days or even a month, really. Like, this is long-term, lifelong entrenched habits.
Yeah.
But if I did a creating an awareness thing, so, like, over a few days rather than just, like, one video or one conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason they are where they are is because of what they've done. Sorry.
Right. And if you can show them some of the depth and the magic of what it's like to be in a container with you, and they get some breakthroughs, right, which is different than results, but they get some breakthroughs around their habits or why they've been holding on to the weight or how they engage in their relationship with food or, you know, things like that, then they're going to be compelled to want more and to want to learn the skills to shift that.
Perfect. I love that. Thank you. That's a really total new angle. Because, yeah, I was stuck. I was like, I can see that people want some sort of quick win or some sort of thing, but I don't know how to do it. But,
I would say, like, instead of the 5 days being like, lose 5 pounds in these 5 days, what if it's more of, like, you know, and this may not be the exact right words, but what if it's more of get to the root cause of why you've been holding on to the weight?
Yes. Love it.
Great. So play with that. Let's see what wants to come forward. And I can
one other question. Is there time? Here.
Is there what? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, cool. It's totally unrelated. It's a client question.
Suzanne, if it's not related, I'll come back
I'll
to
jump
you because there's a bunch of other hands raised. So
I thought there might be. No worries. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Leah.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, I wasn't sure it was me or not. before I ask, did you get a chance to see any of the stuff I sent over?
I didn't take a look at any of it yet. No, sorry.
It's okay. I guess the thing that I'm going to maybe dig in with you a little bit on is basically, like, on what came up in the visualization today was that my business was like, we want to nourish you. You know, we like don't want to push you. Like, that's not this whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And the work I've been doing this week is a lot about, like, unwinding my own nervous system and belief systems and just ways that, like, tension is self-produced and held in my body and field in all the levels, physical forms, all of it, and seeing, like, the kind of false beliefs around, like, thinking I have to, like, get things done by a certain time or that I'm going to miss them. So I've done a lot of work with time. And kind of, like, looking at pressure, which is just continuing the shadow work that's kind of been what I've been journeying with for the last 2 fucking years. Obviously in another place with it, but it's just wild. Yeah, I don't know if I have. I'm curious if anything pings off of that for you about, like, going a little bit deeper. I can ask a specific question, but I think maybe I just needed to share some of that.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you're sharing. And what feels important about all that you just shared? Why is it important?
I think, like, two things. So there's one piece, which is, like, really locking in doing things differently. Like, I don't know if we talked about this, but it's, like, I can't build the new world in the old way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff around, like, me really, really, really coming to this new level of trust with flow and, like, nourishment. Mm-hmm. And, like, really trusting that that's going to take me where I need to go. It's just, like, another level of this is the path and this is, you know, locking into that habit or commitment and way of being and staying with it versus going, because basically what was happening, I think, last week was, like, I was trying to do things in the old way, and my system was just shutting down and, like, just not participating. And I was like, what the fuck's happening? And so kind of gotten to the place of recognition that that's kind of what was going on. And then the other thing is just, like, really recognizing, like, how much my system needs nourishment, like, in a reset. And this isn't just, like, from these last couple of weeks. I think this is, like, beliefs, obviously, that I've carried with me for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so there's some level of recognition that now that I can see, like, how much pressure or how deeply I was, like, kind of, like, watchdogging myself or whatever, that my system now needs time to, like, really release and unwind and just have, and, like, just kind of, it's like when you finally realize why you're upset about something, you need time to process it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that there's something there too.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm kind of going in the right direction here, because I may or may not be. Two things. So one is just simply around, you know, can you give yourself the space for the deeper unwind to happen? Is that possible right now?
I mean, that was the other thing that my business kind of showed me from working on, like, an short-term offer and a long-term, obviously, rebranding.
Yep.
And the kind of hit that I got on the short-term thing and the visualization was, like, I don't really need to be pushing that until June.
Yep.
So,
yeah. So what I would say is then, okay, so a couple things. Well, first of all, you know, not till June, so you have some space for the unwind. You know, and you can, like, do the outreach for the more immediate program during that time, but give yourself the space right now for the unwind. And then the second
mm-hmm.
piece is actually related to the other thing that I was hearing is you said I don't have to push that until June.
Yeah.
And, like, what I was going to say when I said before two things, like, the other thing is that it feels to me like, you know, I don't even know if masculine, feminine are the right words to use.
Yep.
We could also use push and flow. But it's like when the masculine or when the push is in – overactivated, it's you're going to need more. It feels like I'm not articulating myself the right way. There's something going on with the masculine. Like, they're not in balance yet.
Yeah. Well, and I think I use force versus flow,
mm-hmm.
and I think I don't think that, I mean, I think obviously they're not in balance, but it's more that masculine is untrained. Like,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the other image that's been coming up this week is, like, you're doing things differently, like you have a fucking training wheels on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let yourself have the training wheels on, you know, and, like, remember what it's like to learn how to ride a bike versus expecting, you know, that you're just cruising down the street. So I think there is just, like, an outdated frame of reference of like what it looks like to get things done or what it looks like to.
Yeah, I would say outdated, and you can tell me if this is going too far, but like I like the untrained masculine, but I also feel like there's a wounded masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can work with that.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like yin is not separate from yang, you know, and so it's like when you're working on the flow, which is great, and you want to continue to do that, the receiving and all of that, but if the masculine is still untrained or wounded, it's still going to impact the feminine. Because they're always in relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that land?
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Yeah, so that's where I would do some looking next, in addition to giving yourself the space. And, you know, looking... you know, journaling, visualizing, all the things, but what's coming through that might also be helpful for you is to, after you do an exploration of the wounded masculine, is to make a collage of images of, like, an exalted or trained masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Something about, like, having models and images, I don't know, feels important in this case.
Okay.
Does that feel like enough to go with for now?
Yep.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you. I want
to hear where that goes. You're welcome. Okay. Adina, hold on, my computer's being slow. Let me get to you here. Sorry, you guys. All right, here we go. Adina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Thanks for taking me. So I wanted to check in. I shared, I don't know, a month or so ago, probably more than that, about an offering that I'd been doing of a morning meditation practice that I was doing actually for about 6 weeks. So I was doing it 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and I was doing it for free, and we talked about transitioning that and trying to create a program out of it. And I did do that, and I did a 2-week program first that was just the meditation, the 5 mornings a week. And I had a couple of people who signed on.
Great.
And then, yeah, and it was really
nice.
Did
you enjoy
it?
It
was like I totally enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a great little group. It's a combination of clients and friends who are our clients and, you know, just a couple of people. But it's, you know, just been really great for my own structure and, you know, and discipline as well. And so I ended that last week, and then I started another 2-week cycle. I decided to keep it in 2-week cycles, and this week, and so started the next one this week, which is I shifted to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and a combination of movement and yoga and meditation, which has been really nice. And that was a hurdle for me, as I had also shared about kind of getting into the offering the movement on the virtual platforms,
mm-hmm.
but kind of easing into that. So it's been really sweet again, and I have, again, it's the same three people that committed, so it's really small, but again, like, you know, it's really sweet, and I'm just sort of thinking about, you know, I did reach out to a larger sort of larger community with the second cycle, but not very, you know, I did it very honestly, very last minute and very, you know, not wide, and I didn't follow up because it was so last minute. It was because I really was sort of up until the last minute deciding what I was going to do for the, you know, for the onward, often whether I was going to do anything or, you know, just one day a week or, you know, and I finally kind of, it was really at the last minute that I settled on what I'm doing now, which the 3 days a week, which feels really good. But I'm just sort of kind of stuck in terms of possibly, you know, expanding it more, or just really letting it go organically, even if that takes a really long time. I mean, I feel like these, you know, this little group that I have is really committed to keeping on going with this, and it feels really nice actually to be, you know, just kind of establishing a little community, like, from, you know, like, really from the ground up like that. But I just thought I would, like, bring it forward since I had shared about it before, just to kind of see if you have insight for me.
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. This or a version of this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what if you committed to this ongoing for 3 or 4 months? And people could step in at any time. And if they step in to start, like, they come in for the 2-week commitment. And then if they want to continue, they can, like, it's not that they would re-up every 2 weeks, but maybe it's like a 6-week, you know, kind of re-up situation, or 4 week, or, you know, something like that. And so that way, you know, you can kind of continue to work to bring new people in, and then people can also do it ongoing, and you don't have to renew them every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then if you at the end of the 4 months, if it's working, you can continue if it's working for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could almost be like this thing that you always have, like this easy in to work with you that you, like, always have that somebody can step into.
Yeah. So basically, would you, so you would have, like, one kind of, I mean, I'm doing sliding scale already. So I have the, you know, the 2 week, scale. So basically I would have the 2 week scale and then a kind of, like, full program, like, access to the rest of it rate or scale. Is that what you're?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be, like, the rest of it for the rest of the 4 months. Like, again, like, I would do it in 4-week chunks or something.
4-week chunks,
like,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or 6, whatever feels better for to you. And you can have a different, if you want, you can have a different sliding scale rate for the 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then would you suggest having people be able to drop in, like, a one-off to kind of, to feel it out?
No, the 2 week, like, is the drop-in.
Okay, the 2 week is the drop-in. Got it. Yeah, I mean, the scale is so low, honestly, that, like, okay, got it. Cool. Okay. And then, all right, I guess the other thing is a separate question, so maybe I'll just leave it there and see if there's more time.
Okay. There may be enough time. Got a couple hands raised, and then I'll
swing
back around. I think it was a cool idea. I could see how then it can become a place where you draw private clients from as well.
Yeah.
You know, like I would almost do a different theme every month. That's a like a coaching kind of theme, lightly, you know. You have to create a whole curriculum or anything like that so that people can just start exploring some of the topics that you work with people on through the meditation or the movement or whatever it is. And that's kind of a cool way to organize it, too.
I really like that because that's sort of happened naturally, that, like, we were in one area for a while, and then now we've kind of naturally segued into another one. And I wanted to share also that it really was easier for me. I struggled, you know, for like a month and a half to ask for any kind of financial, you know, for this. And I really noticed that the second time around this last cycle, it was much easier for me to do that, to just like ask for money. So that felt like
so glad to hear it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear it. Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dana, hold on a second here. Dana, I think this is Dana.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know my phone number? Because usually I'm on the computer.
You're coming up as Freehold because you're a fellow Jersey girl. I know who you are.
That's funny. Okay, so, yeah, that I'll just say start by saying that meditation in the beginning was beautiful. I've been working on my moon circle, and I saw this image of, like, the forest, like, sort of this container, like, the trees were, like, the container, and it was, it felt really nourishing, and then there was a clearing in the middle, and then it was this message, which is just, like, yep, we're here, we're ready, like, invite people, we're ready to hold it, so it was just really a beautiful visualization. So I just wanted to speak into like more of the practical logistical piece of this, just knowing my patterns and how things unfold with the summer energies. I always like, I just have a history of launching stuff and getting people in, launching, but then getting really burnt out and like not enjoying the process and not enjoying the aftermath. So I'm just trying to build this out a little differently. So, where do I want to start? So first of all, with the moon circle, I'm really feeling called to do more seasonally opening the doors with, because a lot of it is rhythms and cycles and seasons and energies. So do you think with a membership program, opening it up seasonally is a good idea?
Yeah. So like, you mean like summer solstice, autumn equinox, that kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just letting people like join whenever. You know, having just don't keep the doors open, opening the doors four times a year.
I would say, like, maybe promote it on the seasons, but if you have someone that happens to come along and they're perfect for it, there's no reason to wait.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you do an enrollment conversation for privates and they're not quite ready yet. But the circles are a good alternative. You know, I wouldn't limit yourself to only.
Okay. The only reason I say it is more like it just feels like instead of people being like, oh, I'll join later, it's a good way for me to be like, well, the doors are only open. You know, if you wait, you have to wait until next season type thing versus someone pushing it off. That was kind of, and then I feel that just energetically it feels good because a lot of times, like the readings I do, I'm starting to see them through this lens of like seasons, like they connect for like the season and then it kind of like refreshes. So that's all I was saying. But I understand that, yes, if I just happen, somebody happens to like come to me.
A long enough wait time, like if you were wanting to build the, you know, the urgency because it's closing, it would have to be like twice a year. Three months is like, all right, I'll just wait for 3 months. You know, I don't think that's enough.
Okay. Okay. And then, so, well, I guess for this moment, I feel called to do a little bit of that just because I want to, I'm
I want to like launch it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
for now, I'm kind of launching it at the solstice. So I'm just, it was nice to hear. I don't know, maybe Suzanne was her name. I forgot, but I think you were talking about just like the opt-in and, you know, you were just talking about that. So, I was just, that's what I was thinking. So I was thinking that I was going to do some sort of launch process with, some sort of virtual event, probably maybe a ritual just because the group is ritual. So something similar to what they're doing, but something special that's like free for the launch process. And then maybe some sort of like experience tied into that, like a 3-day challenge or experience. And I've done it before where I've done like a challenge leading into like an event or something like that. So I've done that process before and I've liked it. So that's where I'm just thinking, you know, so I'm just kind of like talking it through maybe. So that was my plan for the next month. To just get, like, I've totally gotten off social media, so I feel like that's just, like, I need to, or, and it does feel like a need. So I think I need to do some work with myself around there to, like, get myself back on social media, because that has been my biggest way of connecting with clients and bringing people in. So I feel like that's a big thing for me, is just to go back to a consistent routine of being on social media and then just starting to promote this, like, free thing right now.
So first of all, yay, I can feel that you've moved out of winter and you're in your spring energy. I really feel it. So yay, I know you've been waiting. In terms of social media, think back to Sacred Rhythms. What was going to make it pleasurable for you? You know, like, how can you really include your lover so that you can show up in pleasurable, committed ways for the social media? So I'll let you meditate on that. And then I love the idea of a 3-day thing leading into a circle or something like that. Remember what Suzanne and I were talking about, you know, the purpose of previews is to activate desire for the program, to show how deep you can go, right, so that they're like, oh, this is a woman I really want to be with and learn from and experience. But the depth, the breakthroughs that you're creating are also kind of helping people see that they really, you know, having a spiritual practice, connecting more deeply to the seasons, connecting more deeply to the moon and the sun is what they need to, it's like the antidote and the medicine to what's going on for them right now. And the what's going on for them right now are like part of what you're going to be exploring in the 3 days in the event. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, totally. So I have one more question in regards to this. So I was kind of like doing the numbers. So right now I've been on unemployment for my day job, and it's just like opened up this whole new world of what it looks like to be making enough money while not having to work.
Well, having time.
It feels like, oh, look, I'm making this money in my business, which I'm not yet. But so I've kind of crunched the numbers and like I would need about like 50 to 60 members, just depending, you know, because I have the lower and then the upgrade option. So I just said like on average about bringing in like 50 members for me to get to a place where I'm already showing up for this container. So it's not like I'd have much more work. So it would be good to maintain and just know that like I was bringing in this amount of money each month, and that would be like good to leave my job. And that feels really good. So I forgot my point with that, but, I know what my point was. So I was, I feel like my biggest in right now, just, so I guess my point was this first launch of it feels important because I wanted to get to the place where it feels like substantial. Like that feels like, you know, I have enough people in. Again, obviously people might leave or come, but if I had that many people, I would feel a lot more wiggle room with leaving the day job. So I was thinking of like one of my biggest ways is like members. just giving them incentive to like invite their friends. So part of me was like just leaning into that. And I was like, you know, just like a simple, and it's not like, I was thinking of like paying them, like, you know, $5 or $10 a person you bring in, something like that, which I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but I feel like some sort of incentive would excite them.
Yeah, I think incentive is great. $5 or $10 is not incentive. Incentive would be like a personal reading from you. Or
yeah, that's like, I feel like that feels like, that's the thing. My personal readings take like a lot of time and energy, and it's like a $37 program they're coming into.
Right. Is there like a 15-minute something that you could give them?
I'd have to like sit with that. It's not something I currently do, so it would have to be like something new that I do.
So let's think about that. Like, is there something really valuable that like in 15 minutes of your time you could give? Or, I mean, honestly, for the price point, it's really just like out of their heart, you know, like, cause they want to do it.
Yeah. I guess it was more like a mental
but
thing.
But
like
the other thing,
and then
you could,
you get a few bucks, like that could add up.
Yeah.
And bring in, you know, 10
I don't know if it's,
over the
I don't know if
time.
It's the bucks. I don't know if it's the bucks. I feel like it's either time, one-on-one time with you, even if it's short, or it's like once a season you have a special, you know, 60-minute workshop on a cool topic, and anyone that has referred someone over the last 3 months gets entry to that 60-minute workshop, and maybe the person they referred also gets to get into the workshop too, or something like that, you know?
Okay. So, yeah, I'll brainstorm something.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Great. Yeah, this feels good. I feel the wheels turning, so.
Yeah, I feel it too. Yay.
Oh, can I ask one more question on the upsell? Do you think I was kind of wanting to do a 3-month commitment, because we talked about this. It's like $97 for a single session for the upsell. And I don't really want people to just be buying that for a month, because if they were to just get a session with me, you know, it would be more. So do you think it's okay to just say like a 3-month commitment on the upper level?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. I am going to lower all the hands. I've gotten all the hands that are currently raised. I'm going to lower them. If you want to ask another question, raise your hand, or if anybody else has a question, raise your hand. Star 2. Anyone else need anything? Who is this? 3506.
Oh, it's Victoria.
Hey, Victoria. I haven't heard your voice in a while. It's great to meet you.
Yes. So happy to be here. And I actually don't think my hand raised the last time, because I didn't hear the beep on my phone. So it really worked to my benefit. You lowered and had us read.
Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Yeah.
So I meant to ask this question, which I'm excited about. So first of all, I just wanted to celebrate. It's just important to me to just celebrate the fact that I'm claiming and owning and stepping into my greatness after a long, you know, dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really claiming the identity of a wisdom keeper.
Mm.
And so I am currently in the midst of transformation. It's like all of these breakthroughs have finally added up, and I can feel just at a cellular level how I have transformed, and I'm still in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that you're owning and claiming and sharing. Like, you know, I've been with you in person twice over the last 6 months, and I could see the progression, And I could also feel like there was like the tipping point hadn't yet happened, but it was like it was happening. And so I'm
right.
So glad that you're following through and the tipping point is happening. Really well done.
Yes. And I've been at that tipping point place for a long time, and it's part of who I am called to work with, because I don't think that I just think that it's experienced by more people than we realize.
Yeah.
Especially when they're more conscious and spiritual and, you know, have certain gifts that they've buried. And I do think it affects their action, you know, and their outcomes and the results. And it's painful. And my particular pain, the pain of inaction finally got so painful. It was just so much greater than the fear. And that's what thwarted me into action.
Good.
Just that pain. So getting to the question, though, I am speaking of action, which is pretty awesome. I'm now called to offer services, and in particular, and we've kind of discussed this again, but I guess I wasn't at the launching, you know,
mm-hmm.
part yet. I didn't take the final step. So I'm putting together just a 3-call package, you know, and I still will keep my 6-month package on the books. But just to kind of what Suzanne had brought up, you know, just a preview, just these 3 calls to get me in action. I can gather a lot of information from my sessions with these, you know, people. And it's just about helping the you saw this, but there's a theme that I saw occur that helped me get into action, and I think this is stopping a lot of people. And it really, what my path was, is really developing some self-compassion, getting to that self-forgiveness peace as a result of that compassion, and then getting some really deep level acceptance about where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what thwarted me into action. And so I'm thinking of arranging these calls, like attract, kind of creating these calls just as a preview to kind of activate, let them get a chance of, you know, a taste of what it's like to work with me. But also, again, it's going to be an invitation into longer-term work with me. So it's about them just getting the awareness, starting the journey, starting the exploration, and helping them have that experience of being in the container. But it's around this self-forgiveness thing, particularly
yep.
as related to their business. So it's like all of the stuff they've invested in, all of the things that they, you know, have done, and how they are deflated now. And, you know, that's caused the inaction. But they're still hearing the call. They can't ignore it. They can't give up. So it's about assisting them with just a few number of calls. Now, I know I can't create a transformation. And my exact question about this is, which area do you sense that I could focus on? I have plenty of, you know, I know what they're feeling and things, but when you think about that self-compassion, self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, and getting them into action, as far as a marketing perspective, I'm thinking about focusing on just the self-forgiveness, or maybe it's the self-compassion, because that's what it came through first for me before I could get to the forgiveness. Or maybe it's that result, that action, you know, that getting that one thing, not promising the whole world, but just that one teeny thing, getting them into action, or a combination of all 3 when I am speaking to the audience. I know this is
No, it's great. It's all good. So, in terms of marketing, the thing that will probably sell is the getting one thing, taking the one action, getting one thing done. Because people are not lying awake in the middle of the night thinking, oh, if only I could have more compassion for myself, then I would be in motion. You know, they're just like, if only I could get the freaking thing done, right?
So and they don't know what the block is.
So I would lead with the you know, get about getting one thing done. But obviously, as part of the three sessions of work, you'll look at the block, you know, the self-forgiveness, the self-compassion pieces before getting, you know, as you also help them get the thing done. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so,
and then that way it gives me more ability to be able to tailor my work to what they need. You know, maybe it's not the forgiveness. Maybe it's, you know,
it might
something
be
else.
Right? It might be acceptance. It might just be a befriend your fear something, right? Okay, so that's how I would do it. Now, let's talk about the container for a moment, because you do want to, as best you can, like have them have that result of getting the one thing done, right?
Right.
So what I thought I heard from you, but I may not be hearing correctly, is that it would be one session a month for 3 months.
No, I didn't. I would probably do them quicker and weekly this would be more hand-holding. So maybe over a month, let's say.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. I thought you meant it was – I thought you had said 3 months, and I was like, no, it can't be one session a month. So
three sessions
over a month. Or 5 weeks is perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
And then if you can support them to get that thing done and they feel, like, really good about getting the thing done and then they feel more confidence in getting more things done and they've started to open up more to the forgiveness or, you know, whatever it is, then you're perfectly poised to enroll them into a longer program.
Perfect. Yep. Okay, and then even though I'm the type, let me just put words to this. So I'm the type that actually was like, okay, it's my self-forgiveness. Okay, it's my shame that needs to be released. Okay,
yeah, but that's because you're such a deep thinker, Victoria, and you've already done so much work on yourself. Most people are like, most people are going to be like, yeah, that's great, but I really need to get the thing done.
Okay. Because, see, that's what's, like, kind of hard for me because I keep thinking, well, these people are thinking that way. But maybe that's just more of me being able to claim the identification, you know, claim my identity as a wisdom keeper and recognize that that's a gift and a curse. No, I'm just kidding.
Definitely in the, like, you will put in the marketing, like, we're going to do inner and outer work. Going to be the strategy and the holding of the tight container and the real, and the hand holding to actually help you get the thing done, but we also, if you haven't gotten it done until now, for sure there is a fear or there is a place where you are not accepting yourself or there is a, right? And so we're going to do that work. We're going to tiptoe into that work as well.
Okay, perfect.
But it's
so
all in service of getting something done. It can't, the inner work can't hang out on its own. It's not going to be compelling enough. That makes sense?
I get it. Even though I could do that all day long. Right? So and that's a gift. So that's why I offer this service in order to move it from that place into the action place, which is, you know, what people are looking for, you know? And I need that too. We all do, right? So, okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This,
I'm really
this sounds
excited.
Sounds delicious. Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, my gosh.
Great.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Doesn't look like there are any other hands raised. Let me just double check. Anyone else have a quickie before we go? All right, then I will trust that we are complete for today. What a great call. Thank you, everybody, for your presence and your energy. Sending you love, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has